Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to talk for a bit about the gospel lesson. John chapter 1, where Jesus calls Andrew and the apostle John and Peter to be disciples. Let us pray as we meditate and consider God's word. We pray, Lord, remind us this holy day that we cannot live on bread alone, just the things of this world, but we truly live on every word that comes from your mouth. Give us your word now. Teach us, guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, no one likes to be put on the spot, do we? We get a little nervous when we're put on the spot. We get a little scared. Our face may blush. We might panic. Oh, no, I've been put on the spot. Well, today in the gospel lesson, John 1, Jesus really puts us on the spot. He's quite to the point, doesn't beat around the bush. In John 1, we have the first words of Jesus according to John. And then there's a question where he puts us all on the spot. You see the question that Jesus asked? He asked it originally to Andrew and John who began to follow him. He asked it really to all of us that are here today. You got out of bed. Some of you came all the way from North Carolina and you're in church today. We welcome you. And we're here and he puts us on the spot and says, what are you seeking? He would grab us by the shoulders gently and look us in the eye because he loves us. What do you want? What are you seeking? Why are you here? Why are you a Christian? What are you doing? Andrew and John and First Lutheran and friends, what do you really want? We learn in this gospel that true followers want three things from Jesus. Good question to consider as we begin 2014. What do I really want from God this year? Three things. We learn this from Andrew and John. First of all, and above all, this is most important, way, way, way high, and the other two are lower. But first of all, above all, what true followers want is the Lamb. We want the Lamb, the perfect, holy, sweet Lamb of God that does what? That takes away the sins of the world. That's what we want. The Lamb. We want forgiveness. We want a sacrifice for our sins. We want peace with God. We want salvation. We want the Lamb. Notice John the Baptist's words. Andrew and John, we think, were disciples of John the Baptist. And now John the Baptist is pointing them to Jesus who will save them. And what does John the Baptist say two times in this text? He points to Jesus, who he's just baptized. Had that last Sunday. And he says, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And the next day, if he didn't get it, Andrew and John. He didn't get it, First Lutheran. The next day he says, look, the Lamb of God. Two times, the Lamb of God. And then we read where Andrew and John begin to follow Jesus. Why are they following? Because he's the Lamb. They want a Lamb. They want forgiveness. They want salvation. They're not there just for miracles. They're not there just for a show. They're not there just to learn a few things. They're not there just to get their bellies full. They are there for the forgiveness of sins, a sacrifice for their sin, salvation from God. That's what they want, the Lamb. So why are you here today? We can be here, we can come to church to look good. I look better than most of you, and I'm pious, and I'm faithful, and I have my favorite pew. And look at me, people, aren't I a fine Christian? Is that why you're here? Little show-off time for you. Look at how great I am. We can be here wanting lots of stuff from Jesus. Jesus, may my team win today. We know who he'll favor today, don't we, First Lutheran? He doesn't really care. Have a good game. It's great fun and fellowship. Jesus, give me better health. Jesus, give me more money. Let me win the lottery. Make life good. May Peyton Manning maybe win today. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Let the Broncos win. Just make everything work out in my life, Jesus. Please give me lots of stuff. Is that what you want from God? Lots of stuff that you really don't need anyway, that just makes you greedier than you already are? We can come looking down on people to look at them and I'm a lot better than them. glad I'm so happy that I'm me and not them, and look down on people. Again, our pride and ego. You know, I heard, this is for my North Carolina friends, that last weekend or 2 weekends ago, it shows how good they are at basketball there in North Carolina. We hope they're not so good today, though. But there's 4 great universities in North Carolina, North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, and North Carolina State. And I heard we're about, for the first time, all 4 teams lost on the same day in basketball. Can we in Tennessee hear an amen on that? Especially Duke losing. Oh, I love it when Duke loses. But wow, you know, sometimes we're happier about other people being down than we are winning. We have some sick joy looking down on others who have lost. And maybe that's what it's all about. I can look down on people that I think I'm better than and rejoice in their failures when I'm so good. What do we want? Why are we here? Not to look down, not to look good, not to get lots of stuff. We're here for the Lamb. To hear about the Lamb, to eat and drink of the Lamb's body and blood. Forgiveness. Secondly, true followers want to learn. And they want to learn and learn and listen and learn more and more. They want a relationship with this Jesus. Notice the text. Andrew and John begin to follow Jesus, and then Jesus turned and said, "What are you seeking?" Puts them on the spot. And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. What do they want? Secondly, they want to learn from him. They want to spend time with Jesus. It isn't just give me forgiveness and I'm going to go live my own life. Bye. See you again next year when I need forgiveness again. But we want to be with you, Jesus. We want a relationship with you. We want to follow you, be there every day with you, talk with you, pray with you, learn from you, sit at your feet. They want to spend time with Christ and have a relationship with him. That's a follower. I want this Jesus in my life every day, not just every once in a while. I want to spend time with him. How much time are you spending with Jesus? Prayer? Do you pray? Devotion? Reading? Worship? How often do you attend, really? Do you participate when you do attend? How often do you ever open your Bible and read it? How often do you spend time with Jesus? You know, I read a cute little article from a third grader, and a third grader is answering the question, what is a grandmother? And this applies to use of time, as you'll see. A third grader writing, what is a grandmother? And he writes, a grandmother is a lady who has no little children of her own. She likes other people's. A grandfather is a man grandmother. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except be there. They are old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they drive us to the store and have lots of quarters ready. When they take us for walks, they slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. They never say hurry up. Usually grandmas are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums out. Grandmas don't have to be smart, only answer questions like, why isn't God married and how come dogs chase cats? When they read to us, they don't skip or mind if we ask for the same story over again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, especially if you don't have television. Because they are the only grown-ups who have time. We adults sometimes don't have time for our own kids, let alone for Jesus, so we ship them off to grandma. And I wonder if Jesus wrote a little report, whether he would say grandmas and grandpas are the only people who have time for me too these days. Everybody else is running around so busy. And sometimes grandpas and grandmas don't have any time to do anything either, except live their selfish lives. Notice John, as he writes this gospel, he says it was about the 10th hour when he meets Jesus and goes and spends that. That's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon back in that day. And he goes and spends that evening with Jesus, with Andrew. Why that little detail? It was about the 10th hour. Let me tell you, it's a lesson here. He is saying the 10th hour because he's showing us how important this time was for him. This is the highlight of his life. The moment he meets Jesus, he's going to go sit with Jesus, eat with Jesus, be with Jesus. He remembers the very hour, not the 9th hour, the 11th hour, but the 10th hour. I remember the day. It's the highlight of my life. And I pray it's the highlight of your day to spend time with Jesus. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to read my Bible and have a devotion. I can't wait to share with my children. I can't wait to come to church. It's the highlight of my life. Not something I just squeeze in now and then. It's my highlight, most important thing to me. I remember it. I write it down on my schedule. And also the number 10 has a great meaning. The number 10 is symbolic for completion or for fullness. It's as if he's writing, when I met Christ and spent time with Christ, my life is now full. My life is complete. I have everything that I want. You know, as I minister to people, there's a lot of sad people, grumpy people, depressed people, stressed out people. No one seems to smile much anymore. Why is that? Just a thought. Maybe because we don't spend that much time with Jesus anymore. He's the one that gives full joy and full hope. If I don't have him, yeah, what do I really have? Maybe if we spent a bit more time with Jesus, there would be overflowing hope and joy in God's people. Still stress, still sadness, grief, yes, but a deep joy that would show. And last of all, what do followers want? They want to find lost people. They want to find all the lost that they too would know this Jesus. Notice what Andrew does after he spends time with Jesus. One of the two of them who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Notice the progression. Andrew and John are lagging behind. They're kind of timid, walking behind Jesus. He looks around and says, "What do you want? What do you want? What are you seeking?" Then they go spend time with Christ. After spending time with Jesus, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, their sins are taken away, they're forgiven. Now they're out in front. Andrew can't wait to go find Peter, his brother. And he brings him to Jesus. He's zealous, passionate. That's what happens when you spend time with Jesus. There's a new zeal in your life, a new passion, a new love for God and for your neighbor. You want everybody to know Jesus. It's the first thing Andrew does. He first found Peter. Wasn't second or third. It's the first thing he does that day. I must go find Peter, my brother. May it be your first thing every day to spend time with Christ and then go find your neighbor and invite your neighbor. Notice he finds his brother. Andrew doesn't go knock on doors somewhere. He doesn't go off to China and be a missionary. Now, that's fine to do too. And God calls people to do that too. But he just finds his brother. As you begin to witness, you don't have to go to China. You don't have to go to Japan or Australia. Maybe go to your brother who doesn't believe. Or your sister who doesn't go to church. Your grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, child, neighbor. Someone you already have a relationship with and say, "Come. Come to church. Come and learn. I'll sit with you. I'll go through it with you. We'll learn together again. I want you to have Jesus too, because I love you, and God loves you." Do we care about the lost? I was in Walgreens the other day to get some nasal spray, fighting sinus and stuff. And what did I see in Walgreens? A big display already for what? Valentine's Day. All the red cards, all the Valentine's cards, and all the chocolates that are out there and the balloons, a big display for Valentine's Day. And I was walking through that area, and there was an older grandmotherly type lady there working for Walgreens. And I just said to her, "Wow, already Valentine's stuff out?" You know what she said? She said, "Yes, people want to be loved. People want to be loved." And I said, "Yes, people want to be loved. And if there's something that everybody wants out there, it's love." What's the hearts of people longing for? To know they're loved. You know the love of God, I pray. You know Jesus, the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life in his blood for you. And people need more love than a lousy box of chocolates or a Valentine's card. That's nice. They need more. They need the love of God's red blood that was shed on a cross to cover their sins. Go share that love. People want to be loved. The Lord puts us on the spot. What do you want? Why are you here? Maybe we want the Lamb. Maybe we want to learn. Maybe we want to save all the lost. And may God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.